Alrighty, let's start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne on your blessed Shabbat, and we thank you for another week of love and protection and guidance and caring for our needs. And we ask you now, as your Shabbat is beginning, that we could enter your rest. We pray for your prayers over your people worldwide. And Father, in such a distressed world, we pray for your kingdom to this earth as is in heaven. We thank you, Father, for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. And we ask your Spirit to guide and lead as we go through your word. We thank you for all things, and we give you praise. In your Son Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, last week we were going over who was end time Babylon, all the different characteristics of it. I'm not really going to be rehashing on that because this study is going to be somewhat different. This will be more on prophetic Babylon and what's happening now in prophecy, as it's unbelievable. As we look at some of these prophecies, we'll see how exactly they're coming about and how it should show us how close we are getting toward Yahweh's kingdom that's coming, and that should be exciting to us. So this will be the last Bible study until next month. We'll take a little break for the summer, and I could be working on some other things as the feast is coming quickly. I have many things to put together for many different things, so we will take, a little summer break from the Erev Shabbat Bible study until the beginning of next month, and then we will come back there. So I want to pick up in Revelation 18. That's where I want to start. And like I said in the study last week, and it's lesson 15 we have online if anybody wants to go there and look at that study. I think at this point in time, it's impossible. Well, it's not impossible for somebody to say America is not Babylon, as you have people saying almost anything these days. But I think if anybody is honest with Scripture, there is not even remotely any other nation in the world that would fit the more than 100 scriptures that all tell who end time Babylon is. So just going over Revelation 18 again, starting in verse 7. By what things she glorified herself and luxuriated, by so much give back to her torment and mourning, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and I shall not see sorrow. So again, there is no other country in the world since World War II that has lived in luxury and has benefited from world democracy the way that the United States has. Because of this, in one day her plague shall come, death and mourning and famine, and she will be consumed with fire, for Yahweh Elohim judging her is strong. And, you know, as human beings, we tend to have short memories. But I can tell you something, because we've been out of Babylon for more than 20 years, and I remember when we first left Babylon, let's say between the year 2000, maybe in 2010, there were a lot of things going on in the world. You know, there was the tsunami that happened and all kinds of things, a lot of heavy things, natural disasters and even wars, even the Lebanon war with Israel. But during that time, hardly ever would you ever see anything bad happening in America. And today, most of what you see happening, the worst of it, including the COVID-19, is unfortunately happening in the United States. And that's what it says, because of this, in one day her plagues will come, right? And we're going through this now, the COVID-19 plague with death and mourning and famine, and she will be consumed with fire. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Not only are the cities in Babylon burning, but California is having major fires now. I know last year it was like something like a quarter of the country was on fire, with Nevada and Utah. There was a whole bunch of places all through California that were all on fire there. And the kings of the earth will weep over and will wail over her, those having fornicated and have luxuriated with her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing from afar off because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe to the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment came. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their merchandise anymore. And then it goes into all the different merchandise that Babylon deals in. And like I said, they're the only place in the world that has that commodity market to that extent. There is a smaller one in Great Britain, but a full commodity market where you can trade these things. So what other merchants would be weeping and crying if a country was destroyed because no one's buying their merchandise? There just isn't anybody else. And like I said, China, who only since they entered the World Trade Organization has even remotely got into being a big trader when it comes to the economic trading system. So go back 20 years and they're not even part of it, right? But again, China is selling. They're selling their stuff, basically their cheap stuff, but they're not buyers. America are the buyers. America, that's why you see the trade deficits of America's going sometimes up to $800 billion in 1 year trade deficit of more stuff that they're importing and buying than things that they're exporting and or selling. So there's no doubt. There's no doubt when you look at Babylon, end time Babylon from Scripture, they're the richest nation it ever was. They're the economic steam engine of the world economy. It's a worldwide economy that end time Babylon has. They're the top military in the world. All the nations of the earth meet in Babylon. So when we look at the characteristics, there's just no even question that America is the one fulfilling all these things, plus being pleasure seekers and all the other things that come along with it. So what I want to do now, though, is I really want to go into what Scripture says about what happens to end time Babylon, how it happens, and look at some of the things happening in the world today and really see that a lot of this stuff is here. It's being fulfilled before our eyes, if you have eyes to see. If you don't have eyes to see, unfortunately, no matter what it is, you're not going to see it. And that's why the deception that we have today, it's worse than I've ever seen ever, and probably worse than we've ever seen in the history of man, because of the internet and iPhones and all these things, and the way that Satan, the prince of the power of the airwaves, has the ability to 24/7 condition people to falsehoods. But it's amazing to think what people believe today and how they're really being hoodwinked on a lot of these things that are out there. So if we go to Jeremiah 25, it's a very interesting scripture. We're going to start in verse 11. And it says, "And this whole land shall be a waste and a horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." So, like I said, Babylon is the head of the world governments. They're the leader of the world, and basically Yahweh says, whoever does not follow Babylon during the 70 years, according to the mouth of Yahweh, that we don't know exactly when that started, but we certainly know it didn't start 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. We're really coming toward the end of this 70-year period that Yahweh says the nations must serve Babylon. Why does he do that? Because his end-time message has to go worldwide. There's a worldwide preaching work that's going out. And in order to do that, you have to have freedom. You have to be able to print Bibles, send Bibles. And pretty much that had been done by America for many, many years. But now we're really coming to the end of it as we see that. So he says, "And the whole land shall be a waste and horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall be when 70 years are fulfilled," and there's another scripture that says, according to the mouth of Yahweh, "I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation and the land of the Chaldeans for their iniquity, says Yahweh, and I will make it everlasting ruins." So there's two attacks on Babylon. The first attack is where their sovereignty is taken away. This is the one from Revelation 17, the deadly wound of the beast, because Babylon is part of that beast, right? They're actually the woman who rides the beast. So they're actually controlling the beast, right? When you ride a horse, you're controlling the horse. The horse isn't controlling you. So Babylon is riding the beast and controlling her. But then what happens? The beast hates Babylon and throws her off and destroys her. And that's Babylon's first fall. That's where her sovereignty is basically taking away. But at the same rate, it'll look like the nations are helping her as they're fanning her and pilfering her and doing everything against her. But it'll look like the deadly wound is healed because world government will still be there, but Babylon will not be the leader of it. But then when Yeshua returns, and we know when Yahweh says he looks back at end time Babylon, and then she's completely destroyed later, and for eternity, nobody will ever live there again. So when we look at Babylon today, I don't know why anybody would want to live there now. It really, I mean, for someone who grew up there and in a lot of ways admired it, admired what was done there. And like I said, even for the work of Yahweh, if you look in modern times from the time of the pilgrims, that America really was the headquarters of the work of Yahweh. There wasn't a work going on in Jerusalem until 1931, you know, and Yahweh restoring the work from there, from that point, starting with Elder Duggar and then our work starting in the late 90s. But Babylon was the, you could say it was like the center of the work of Yahweh worldwide, and then it went out to the world, but not today. Not today. Today it's only congregations falling apart, only people falling away, and it really is not a good place to be. So it shall be when 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for iniquity, says Yahweh, and I will make it everlasting ruins. And I will bring on that land all the words which I have spoken against it, all that is written in the book which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings will lay service on them, even they, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the work of their own hands. So it's not just one nation, but it's an company of nations. And we already know the kings of the Medes and the Persians, which are the Iranians and the Russians. We could put two and two together to figure out China is going to be with them, along with North Korea and a host of other nations that will be there. I know Dmitry Dudeman and some of the prophecies that he claims came directly from angels, from Yahweh, talked about missiles being in Cuba, putting missiles there and attacking even from there, which is very close to the American homeland. For so says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, to me, take the wine of the cup of the wrath from my hand and cause all the nations to whom I shall send you to drink it. And they shall drink and reel to and fro and be maddened because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the hand of Yahweh and made all the nations to drink, those to whom Yahweh had sent me. And then he goes into all these different people here. And it's interesting because now we're going through pandemic. And we know it says that. If you look in the Horseman of the Apocalypse, if you look in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, Yeshua talks about there'll be, first there's going to be deception, and then after that there's going to be different things. There's going to be earthquakes, right, and pestilences, which we're seeing now. And then there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And this is what's coming here, this war. And I'm not going to go through the time to read all of it, right? But when we look at all, it starts with Jerusalem. Jerusalem is getting attacked because of the evil that they've done and what they've done, allowed to Yahweh's holy city over there. But then if you look at the other nations that they name here, who they are is the Jordanians, the Palestinians, the Lebanese, talking about maybe Turkey and Cyprus and the Greek islands, Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan, Iran, Ukraine, Georgia, and the Russian provinces, Iraq, and we have it all in our study notes, so you know you could look and see who, exactly which ones they're talking about come there. I just, for time rate, I'm not going to go through this whole thing, because I could probably do a whole Bible study just on this one chapter. Maybe I will sometime. But what we see is, we see that in the end time, all these nations, and it's really interesting because that's where the powder keg is, right, of the Middle East, of all these nations. And there is going to be a war that's coming there. And just recently now, whatever happened in Lebanon, nobody really knows for sure. I saw some reports saying that Israel was involved in it. Other reports saying that it was an accident that happened with something, maybe with even some Russian people. But nobody really knows for sure what it is right now. But one thing is for sure is when you look at the Arabs and their playbook, Let's say that it was an accident by Hezbollah. Do you think they're going to say that? No. They're going to say it was Israel. They'll blame Israel. And Israel has been attacking them. They've attacked them in the last 2 years or so. They've attacked them well more than 100 times. And if they try to blame Israel, it will give the ability to cause a war. The same way that 911, you know, was allowed by the American government to give them a reason. You had to get the people behind war. And at this point, why would the Lebanese people want to go to war against Israel? But if they thought that Israel did that attack, that horrible attack that killed all those people and destroyed all that stuff. So we're in real time now as we're looking at these things and what can happen from here. Only Yahweh knows. But something to keep your eyes on, you know, with that, what's happening there. So now people might say, well, you know what, Don? This happened thousands of years ago. Why would you say this is for the end time? This has nothing to do with it. Well, let's go down the chapter. Now, after he names all of these countries, right? And I'll start in verse 29, talking about Jerusalem. For behold, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And shall you be found entirely without guilt? You shall not be without guilt, for I will call for a sword on all those living in the earth, says Yahweh of hosts. So now Yahweh has a controversy with Jerusalem because of the sins that is allowed there. But now Yahweh is saying he's allowing this to go throughout the earth, and the day of Yahweh goes throughout the earth. Let me continue here. And now you prophesy against all these words and say to them, Yahweh shall roar from on high and give forth his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar over his dwelling place. He answers with a shout, like those who tread out the grapes against all those living on the earth. This is the day of Yahweh. This is worldwide. A roaring will go to the ends of the earth. For Yahweh has a controversy with the nations. He will enter into judgment with all flesh. He will give the wicked to the sword, says Yahweh. So says Yahweh of hosts, behold, evil is going from nation to nation, and great whirlwind shall be stirred up from the corners of the earth. And the slain of Yahweh will be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be mourned or gathered nor buried. They shall be as the dung on the face of the earth. So this is the day of Yahweh. Very, very clearly, this has never happened yet, the day of Yahweh. So it's not my theory that Jeremiah 25 is talking about the end time. It's talking about the end time. So one of the things is Babylon 70 years coming to an end. Babylon getting attacked and destroyed. War in the Middle East, which is going to bring the situation that happens from there. And the end of all of it is the day of Yahweh that comes and the wrath of Yahweh on the earth. So we are really, really there now. And if we go to Daniel 2 in verse 28, we're really there for the changeover from the head of gold, Babylon, the head of gold. And I've said this before, that it's not just like a metaphor. Why does Yahweh use the head of gold, the shoulders of silver, you know, and then the going from the silver to the bronze to the iron? Because it's showing how the riches in the world and the things that, like I said, even you can go to the third world, you can go to the poorest places on earth like South Sudan, and everybody has an iPhone, that people are living pretty good today. Relatively compared, they're not living bad. Let's go pre-COVID. Worldwide, people were living halfway decent, you know, because of world democracy and what world democracy brought. Now, granted, a lot of them were put into slavery by world democracy, but overall, as far as the pleasures of the world that Babylon brought of internet and iPhones and televisions and computers and all the other things, basically it was everywhere. But when we go, it says Daniel 2 and verse 28. It says, but there is a low in heaven who reveals secrets and makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, the days we're in right now. You're dreaming your vision on the head of your bed are these. And then he goes on to tell him what happens. I'm going to go to verse 31. You, O king, were seeing, and behold, a certain great image. That great image stood before you with a brilliant brightness, and its form was terrifying. The head of this image was of fine gold. Its breast and its arms were of silver. Its belly and thighs were of copper. The legs were of iron and feet were partly of iron and partly of clay. And we went over this before. So Babylon is America. America's brought this worldwide trading system, right? And that's why the kings of the earth are mourning when Babylon goes down, because no one buys their merchandise. And that's what we're seeing. We're going into a worldwide depression. And in a lot of places, we're already in it. And it's something that is, I believe, manipulated for this, so that they can bring in the cashless society and all the other things. But from Babylon going down, we're going to go to silver, right? And silver's worth stuff. Silver's worth, but it's worth nothing like gold. You know, gold now is more than $2,000 an ounce. It's never been this high in the history. Silver is $28 an ounce. So though silver is worth good stuff, it's nothing like gold. So we're going to see a major thing in the world. We're going to see a major going down. And I say this before, I've written to the brethren, I'll probably write again soon about this. You better prepare to reduce your standard of living. Beside the fact of getting the 7-point plan for Shemitah and preparing through the Shemitah, because, man, if this is the preview to Shemitah, then what's going to happen in the next 2 years, you know? And we better be ready for it. So you better really prepare to reduce your cost of living. And because IRAs and stock market money, all that stuff is going to wash away. And like I said, when the mark of the beast comes, unless you take that mark, you can't trade anyway. So any kind of money you would have in any form, you know, even if you had cash just laying around, you know, in your mattress, it's not going to be worth anything. Because without the chip, the money will be useless. It'll be like Confederate money, you know, it'll be just won't be worth anything anymore. It will not be a form of currency anymore. So we're going. And then from the silver, it doesn't get better. You go to bronze, which bronze is worth less than silver. And then to iron, right? What is iron is worth nothing. Iron is just metal. It's just you can get it anywhere. And it's showing that at the end of this, when the beast is really in its height, look out, we're going back to the Stone Age. You know, that if you don't prepare, there's not going to be this worldwide system of trading anymore. There's not going to be Walmarts and there's not going to be Costco and all these things where you can just live the life of Riley and make hundreds of thousands of dollars working on a computer somewhere and then just go and buy all this stuff and buy a $100,000 car and all the other stuff. It's the world is changing. And if you don't see that cloud moving now, you're really in trouble because the world won't see it. There'll be eating and drinking and buying until the end. But the people of Yahweh has shown it to us. And we've been preparing for this now for 6 years almost. And here we are, right? And we're in a good position. Our communities are in a good position. Our brethren are in a good position. But we have a lot more work to do. Because we thought we'd have 2 years now more to really, really get ready for that. And we don't have it. We don't have that. We have no idea. World travel right now is very difficult. And I can almost guess it's only going to get more difficult next year, particularly when the vaccine comes. Because there's no way they're going to let you travel without that vaccine. And it's very easy to know it, because even now, when I travel to Africa, you have to have your yellow book. And you have to show if you haven't had a yellow fever shot, you're not going to get into the country. So there's a lot that is changing before our eyes. And we're seeing the, you don't have to guess anymore. I'm going to read these scriptures to you. We are seeing Babylon fall before your very eyes. Jeremiah 50. Well, first of all, before we go there, go to Psalm 49. Psalm 49, because you know what? The normalcy bias, people just don't want to see it, or they can't see it. They're so used to thinking that everything will always be this way. When you want to know something, things have never been this way. So what is that you think will always be this way? You know, even 50 years ago, things weren't this way. So what makes you think they're going to continue the way they are now? And that's what you say. There's one thing in life that you can be sure of. The only thing that you could be 100% sure is that change will come. You know, there's always change. So things don't stay the same and things will change. But Psalm 49 and verse 11, look what it says. Their inward thought is that their houses shall last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call lands after their own names. But man shall not remain high in honor, but he is like the animals, they shall be cut off. So that's the way people think, you know, that it just all continue forever. They name names after themselves. and we go on and live happily ever after, but not in Satan's world. You know, in the kingdom, it'll go on forever, but not in this world. It's the normalcy bias. And that's why most people aren't preparing. And even as you see the world change so much through COVID-19, you know, maybe for the first month, people were scared and not knowing what's going to happen. But now people are just adapting to it and thinking that it'll just, it's going to pass and it's going to go and everything's going to get back to normal. And there ain't no way, because it goes way, you could see that this whole thing goes way deeper than just a pandemic. There are things that you see there going on, starting in Babylon, you know, with the destruction of the country and the communism that's going on there, and the hatred and the evilness that no country, you know, a house divided against itself cannot stand. No country can stand through that. And it permeates throughout the world. A lot of countries have been in lockdown. A lot aren't even going to open up till next year, if they open up. Let's see what happens. You know, I was thinking that by now, we're in August. I thought back in March and April, yeah, maybe by the summer, it'll kind of seem like it'll go back to normal, and then something else will happen. And nothing is even remotely going back to normal. You know, they started opening up the schools in America a week ago, and now, boy, they're getting swamped with hundreds of COVID cases already. And we're only in the first week of August. Can you imagine? So it's not normal, and we have to realize that. We have to be preparing. So then what happens? Then people start panicking, right? They start panicking because they didn't want to prepare before, because they like Babylon. And that's why I said the biggest problem I've seen in 25 years, I'm not saying just now, but in 25 years of people in Babylon leaving, is they really don't want to leave Babylon. What they want to do is they want to go to a place that's just like Babylon. And that's why, you don't know through the years how many people have told me, well, I'll leave America if I can come directly to Israel. And Israel, if there's one place that's probably as perverted as Babylon, it's Israel. Israel is a little Babylon. It really is like that. And that's why Yahweh now has cut off the feast. You know, he's ended that. We had a whole 19-year time cycle of the feast there, but that's over now. Probably until the kingdom comes, you know. So he has his people going to the wilderness, and you have to see that cloud moving, because if you don't, wow, you're going to be left behind in a real, real bad place. So when people say, where do we go? Where do we go? Where can we go where it's safe? Where can we go where it's better? Where can we go that we can live the lifestyle? Yahweh told me this 20 years ago. This is the scripture to read them. Jeremiah 15 and verse 2. And it will be when they say, where do we go? Well, this is what you tell them. Then you shall tell them, so says Yahweh, those who are for death to death, those who are for sword to sword, those who are for famine to famine, and those for captivity to captivity. That's where you go. You're going to go where your life is. You're going to go where your lot is. You're going to go where you've been living. That's what it is at the end of the day. It's your character that you're living is what matters to Yahweh. And I'll tell you something. For years, me and Petra met many, many, many Jewish people, religious people in Israel, that looked, if you were not Jewish, as if you were like subhuman. And that Yahweh, they would say, no matter what we do, we could lie, we could steal, we commit adultery, Yahweh can never do anything against us because we are the chosen people. And I would say to them, where have you been the last 2,000 years? You just got back to Israel after 2,500 years of being in captivity, and this is the attitude you come back with? Come on. Yahweh, is he really respected of persons? Is Yahweh Jewish? Is Yahweh an Israelite? You know, is Yahweh black or white or green? Of course not. Yahweh is a spirit. And it doesn't matter which one. That's why racism is the stupidest thing in the world. Because it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're Greek or Jew. What matters is what's inside, the character that you're building. And that's what Yahweh looks at. He judges your heart and he judges your fruit. And that's at the end of the day. So I've said this for 25 years. You're not fleeing Babylon to go to a better place. You're not fleeing Babylon to save your skin. You're fleeing Babylon simply because Yahweh said it. Yahweh is going to destroy an immoral, sick, evil place that the sins have filled up to heaven, that murders babies about every three, you know, every minute or so. They're murdering another baby. And Yahweh's had enough. And he's going to destroy it. And he says, either get out of there or be part of the problem. You could be part of the solution or part of the problem. So that's why we leave. We leave simply to be obedient. We're not leaving to find a better place. You're not leaving to find an easier place, a better place, or whatever. And what I always say is the first question that people should ask is, where can I go with my skills that I can be the best servant? That's what should matter. Not where you can go that you won't get hit nuclear war if it comes and you'll get here. And I'm going back to before we ever left Babylon in the 1990s when we had a congregation in America. And this is what the people were looking at because there were people that left Babylon. And unfortunately, we didn't want to leave with them because they had the wrong attitudes. They had the attitude of just self-preservation. And this should be the time now, you know, like it says, why on earth at this point would you want to live through this? You know, it's a blessing. There's a point coming very shortly where it says, blessed are those who die in Yahweh from this point on. Because, you know, the next waking moment, you wake up in his kingdom. So this is where we are right now. Jeremiah 50, but make no mistake, Babylon will be destroyed. I've never set a date with that. But as I look at world conditions, I'll show you some scriptures to say it's already beginning. But Jeremiah 50, verse 1. The word that Yahweh spoke against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans, by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations and make them hear and lift up a banner. This is end time. Make them hear, do not hide it. Say, Babylon is captured. Bel is put to shame. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her images are put to shame, her idols are broken into pieces, for a nation will come up against her from the north, which will make her land a desert. Yea, no one shall dwell in it. They shall flee, they shall go, both man and animal. And in these days and at that time, this is end time, right? This has never happened. I said this in the last study, Jeremiah 50 and 51. You cannot find in the history book, it's never happened. In these days and at that time, Hebrew idiom for the end time. The sons of Israel will come, declares Yahweh. They and the sons of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek Yahweh, their Elohim. So after this happens, this is when, because our brother Judah would not allow us back into our homeland, right, and tried to keep us out, after Judah also loses their sovereignty, that's when Yahweh will bring back Ephraim back home. They will exit the way to Zion with their faces pointing there, saying, come and let us join ourselves to Yahweh, and an everlasting covenant never to be forgotten. So this is what we see. This is what's going on here. Drop down to verse 45. So hear the counsel of Yahweh that he's planned against Babylon and his purposes which he has purposed against the land of the Chaldean. Surely they shall drag them the least of the flock. Surely they will make their dwelling desolate over them. At the sound of Babylon's capture, the earth will tremble, and a cry is heard among the nations. A cry is heard among the nations. So Babylon is being destroyed, right? Chapter 51 and verse 6. Flee from the land, flee from the midst of Babylon. Each man deliver his soul. Do not be silenced in her iniquity, for it is the time of the vengeance of Yahweh. He will give her a just recompense. He will repay her. Babylon was a golden cup in the hand of Yahweh. At one point, it had value, right? Making all the earth drunk. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Suddenly, Babylon is fallen and it is broken. Wail for her, take balm for her pain, if perhaps she could be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, let us go each to his own country, for her judgment reaches to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. Like we said, NASA, even the space program that's living there. You drop down to verse 28. Come, consecrate nations against her with the kings of the Medes, her governors and all her rulers and all the land of his dominion. And the land trembles and writhes in pain, for every purpose of Yahweh will be done against Babylon to make the land of Babylon a waste without one living in it. So here it is, you know, that verse 37, again, and Babylon shall become heaps, a home for jackals, a horror and a hissing, without even one inhabitant. So there's people through the years that have made these false prophecies that there's going to be these refugees in America that Yahweh's going to have, and it just isn't true. Yahweh, verse 43, her cities have become a ruin, a dry land, the wilderness, a land which no man dwells, nor does any son of man pass by. Something that's this important, and I said it the last time, that Babylon is mentioned, only Jerusalem is mentioned more times in Scripture than Babylon, because end time Babylon is running the world. It affects every man, woman, and child on the planet, because the system that they brought to the world is affecting every single person. Satan is the ultimately the spiritual leader of Babylon and of the global end time government. And Yahweh has to warn his people against it. He has to warn his people against it. And I pray, as you're seeing now in the last few months, that at the rate of deception, that you see that even now, that if something is brought out that is against the norm, you know, like for COVID-19, there could be a drug that could help people, prevent them from getting it, and maybe if they got it and they took it early, it can heal them. And that has been on the market for 65 years. They've been using this. It's FDA approved. And there's thousands of people that have used it and it worked. And yet, instead of having a logical debate that maybe there are reasons you shouldn't take it, or maybe it's good for some people but not everybody, what does the internet do? They close it down. They shut it off. That if you're not giving the mantra that the New World Order wants you to give, you will be shut off. Google, Facebook, everything, you're going to be shut off. And then they're going to rip you and malign you, and then they'll put hundreds of articles against you, and they won't even let you put anything in defense of yourself. So that's truth. That's what you're looking for your truth from, and that's why I say, man, be careful. Be careful. There's a reason why people have been duped and hoodwinked into things like flat earth and all that. Because they're not looking in Scripture. They're looking through the internet. They're looking at all this false, evil stuff. And who do you think is putting it up on these websites? It's Satan himself. And it's all coming from Babylon. I hate to say it. Almost every false doctrine that has come in the end time has come from Babylon. So this is what we're looking at now. And we're looking at Babylon being completely destroyed. And that's just about it. So let's go into some specific scriptures now that are very interesting. I want to start in Deuteronomy 28. Because there's scriptures that talk about how Babylon is going to be destroyed and what happens to Babylon that I believe are happening right now. I don't think I have to convince you. I think all you have to do is read the scripture and you'll see for yourself. Deuteronomy 28 in verse 20. It says, Yahweh will send cursing on you, trouble and rebuke in all that you set your hand, all what you do until you are destroyed or until you quickly perish because of the badness of your doings by which you have forsaken me. So, right? Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, they're blessing and cursings. You do the blessings that Yahweh says, you keep his Torah, he's going to bless you. If you don't, you're going to be cursed. And then look what's very interesting, verse 21, Yahweh will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from off the land where you're going to possess. So he's going to give a plague to the people that aren't listening. And what kind of plague it is? Yahweh will strike you with lung disease and with a fever and with inflammation and with extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. Wow, if this doesn't sound like COVID-19, which is a lung disease with fever, that's one of the first signs that comes with it, an inflammation of the lungs that comes. And your heaven will be over your head to become like copper, and the earth under you iron, right? Going from what? Going from the head of gold to silver to copper or bronze and then to iron. So we see this is bringing it on. That COVID is the beginning of switching over from Babylon being the world leader, or her 70 years being fulfilled, and then coming into the other part of the beast power, which will be very quickly, probably over a short period of time, 1 or 2 years at most, until the iron part of the beast is there. It says, Yahweh will make the rain of your land be like dust and ashes, right? Famine that's coming. It shall come down on you from the heavens until you are destroyed. So, wow. So we see here that I believe, really, when you look at this, it could specifically be speaking about COVID-19 and the things that come from there. But it doesn't end there, right? Because like we said, the kingdom is changing. The kingdom from the gold. And if we go back to Daniel 3, starting in verse 37. You, O king, are the king of kings, for the Eloah of heaven is giving you the kingdom, the power and the strength and the honor. And wherever the sons of men, the animals of the field, and the birds of the sky dwell, he has given them into your hand. He has made you ruler over all the earth. You are the head of gold. Babylon, right? I said, since President Trump was elected in 2016, I said, boy, it's really interesting that at a time when we know Babylon's days are numbered, right? And you really see this parallel with President Trump and Nebuchadnezzar. And one thing about President Trump is everything he does with gold. When you look at Trump Tower, all that is pure gold, even in his apartment, even where it says Trump Tower, this is all gold. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, he is the leader of Babylon as these things are happening now. And he says, you are the head of gold. And then verse 39, in your place will rise another kingdom lower than yours and another third kingdom of bronze, which will rule in all the earth, right? And then the fourth, like we said, iron. It's like going back to the Stone Age. Could there be an EMP weapon, you know, which doesn't take much to do and that would knock out all the electronics, which would really be I couldn't imagine how hard it would be to live. Not necessarily without electronics, but without electricity. You know, if you think of what hospitals need to keep people going and just lights and, you know, we've had over the last couple of years, our electricity sometimes comes on, sometimes comes out. And, you know, you could put up with that for a couple hours, but what if you didn't have it at all anymore? It'd be very difficult in a lot of different things, for a lot of different things that it would happen. So Jeremiah 50 and verse 2, here's another one. Declare among the nations and make them hear. Lift up a banner, make them hear. Do not hide it. Say Babylon is captured. Bel is put to shame. Merodach is broken to pieces. Her images are put to shame. Her idols are broken in pieces. And while, you know, it's really interesting because any country you go in the world, right? And you can go in places like Rome that they have... you can go to Colosseum, you can go to the archaeological museums. They have statues that are thousands of years old that go back to Nero and different things. And statues are the pride of a country because it's their history. That's why you make a statue. You're not making a statue with a guy next door who was a farmer for 30 years. You're making a statue of the people who made your country what it is. Whether that's military people or presidents or famous people in your country. So every country has statues. And logically, anywhere in the world, you would look at it as like you were out of your mind if you just started tearing down statues in a place. You know, because people would be so insulted because you're taking down their history. You're taking down what actually made that country what it is, and the people as citizens. And yet, in Babylon, this is exactly what's happening. Her images are being put to shame, and her idols are being broken into pieces. Literally, they're breaking down these idols. They're just going in city after city after city and pulling down. And they don't even know some of them. It's supposed to be this thing with Black Lives Matter, right? Which is good, Black Lives Matter. But at the same rate, why are they pulling down statues of black people that did good things? They don't even know who they're pulling down. They're just pulling down anybody. It's so out of control what's going on there. But we see that it's from the hand of Yahweh. Because it's the beginning of the fall of Babylon. And like the scripture says, one of the first things that happens is our idols are broken down. This is because in Satan's society, a nation is known by its large towers and its idols that are both show a sign of strength to world powers, but also a display of their history and their power, which is displayed openly in public by its large statues and idols displayed in public squares. So I went over this before with the Twin Towers coming down. You know, it wasn't a coincidence. You know, that the size of the towers, the Bible says that, and Yahweh says, you know, when in the day the towers fall, that it showed the strength of a country. It's shown the country at its height, but not anymore. Not anymore. Not only are the towers falling down, but now they're pulling down all their statues. They're pulling down all of their history and what they're about. And who's doing it? Is their enemies doing it? No, it's coming from within. Their own people are doing it, changing from within. Then Jeremiah 50 and verse 32 says, "And the proud one will stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities and shall burn up everything all around him." Again, this is talking about the fall of Babylon. "I will kindle a fire in his cities and shall burn up everything around him." Wow. For almost a month straight, all you saw were these thousands and thousands of protesters, and not in one place, not just Minnesota, not just New York, not just Chicago, but all over the country, from coast to coast, all over the country. I think they said it was in more than 270 cities that they literally burned them on fire and broke at the stores. I mean, you could see the whole country burning, just like it's saying here, "I will kindle a fire in her cities and it shall burn up everything all around him." Billions of dollars worth of damage that happened across the country. Unbelievable. All the way, like I said, from New York to LA and everything in between. And that's not even considering the forest fires that have happened in America. Not just this year. There's a big one going on in California right now. But the last 2 years, some really, really major. Some of the biggest they've ever had there. Jeremiah 51 and verse 30. "The mighty men of Babylon have stopped fighting. They have dwelt in their strongholds. Their might is withered. They became as women. They have burned their houses. Their bars are broken." So you think America, the most mighty, powerful nation on earth, the strongest military, right? They have nuclear weapons. They can kill every man, woman, and child on this planet 50 times over. And people are coming to their federal buildings and burning them down, and they're doing nothing. They're doing nothing. Like it says, "The mighty men of Babylon have stopped fighting. They have dwelt in their strongholds." They're doing nothing. And it's interesting because President Trump was trying to get the military to go and protect these places, and they fought him on it. And the cities, the mayors and the governors saying they don't want help, and they're allowing it to happen. So, I mean, it's really, really strange, you know, that. But exactly what the scripture says, "The mighty men of Babylon have stopped fighting. They've dwelt in their strongholds." Jeremiah 51 in verse 43, "Her cities have become a ruin. A dry land, a wilderness, a land where no man dwells, or does any man, son of man, pass by." So this hasn't been completely fulfilled, but her cities are becoming a ruin. We are seeing it. We are seeing police stations torn down, federal buildings burn, fighting and looting going on, and whole parts of cities, of major cities, being destroyed with billions of dollars in damage. Murders, you know, homicides, thefts are just going through the roof in every major city, and we're really seeing a lawlessness come. Then in verse 45 of Jeremiah 51, "My people go out of her midst and deliver each man his soul from the burning anger of Yahweh. And that your heart not faint, and you fear the report that shall be heard in the land. The report shall come in a year, and after that the report shall come in another year, and there will be violence in the land, governor against governor." And you know, for years we've talked about this scripture. It's a very, very interesting scripture when you read it. What on earth are they talking about? What is this report? There's a report in 1 year, and then there's a report in another year. And after the second report comes, there's violence and governor against governor. And there's many people who think this could be talking about the COVID. Because when you're looking at it, you know, we already had the first report this year, the COVID. Next year, if there's a second report that comes, again, it could even be worse. But what happens now? As it gets worse in one place, governors are saying, like the governor of New Jersey, if somebody comes from Florida to my state, you got to quarantine. They're actually putting borders up between states and checking license plates because they don't want to destroy their own state that they've done things. So governor against governor, and you're really, really seeing it now. You're having National Guard come out. And believe me, we've only seen the first step. When the next step comes, and if the federal government is out and out, this is what you're going to see. You're going to literally see civil war there again. And, you know, when you look at America today, you see There is no unity. Like I said, a house divided against itself can't stand. And when you look at these liberal democratic places like Illinois and California and New York, wow, these people, I don't know how their constituents can put up with what they're allowing to happen there. But certainly there is such a hatred between the liberal side and the conservative side that this scripture, we've already started to see part of it, but very clearly this could come to fruition. We'll see by next year how this happens. And then verse 57, Jeremiah 51 and verse 57. And I will make her rulers drunk, also her wise ones, her governors and her rulers and her prefects. And they will sleep a never-ending sleep and not awaking, says the king whose name is Yahweh of hosts. Isn't it like this? Like these people, it's like they're drunk. Because you wonder, you know, how this can happen. You have hundreds of people that are protesting and rioting and burning down buildings. And then they come to a person's house and that person's outside with a gun trying to protect him and his wife. And you know what they do? They arrest the person who's protecting his house, and the rioters who broke the fence down, they let them go. And I will make her rulers drunk, and also her governors and her rulers, and they'll sleep a never-ending sleep. Because it's like, that's what it is. It's like they're drunk. It's like they're sleeping. It's like, what is wrong with these mayors and these governors that they're doing this? What on earth is wrong with these people? Well, it's exactly like it says. They're reaping what they sowed. This is something that isn't just started in America. This has been going on for years and years and years. This liberal bias, this homosexuality that's been accepted, abortion that's been accepted, anything against scripture. And this is the end result of a nation that is totally turned away from Yahweh. And I feel bad because there are some good people still there. You know, and I'm not saying just in our congregation. I mean, I do believe there's a lot of good Christian people there that wish it could be different, but it's not. If Babylon could have been healed, it would have been healed, but it's not going to be healed, so flee, get away. And that's all you could tell the people. It's not going to be healed. You know, it's not going to be healed. So, verse 58, the next verse says, so says Yahweh of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly laid bare, and her high gates will be burned with fire. And the people shall labor as for vanity, and the people as for fire, and they shall be weary. Wow. When you look at these protesters in Seattle and Washington, D.C., and New York and L.A., taking over swarms of the city and putting up barriers and claiming it's an independent area from the United States, just like it's saying, the broad walls of Babylon will be utterly laid bare, and her gates will be burned with fire. We can only say with surety that the broad walls of Babylon have indeed been laid bare. And I feel bad for the poor shop owners who've seen both forced shutdowns due to the virus, and now they waited patiently, they did everything according to the law, they tried to do their part, and now their stores get opened up, and what happens? They get looted and burned, and some of them even killed. And I do think that a lot of these people are weary. And I think in the end, you know what? The corporations are always going to make do, whether it's going to be government bailouts or it's going to be because, you know, they have billions of dollars through their stock options and all the other things. The corporations always make it big. But it's the hundreds of thousands, if not in the millions, of small business owners that are all going to go under. And that's the sad part here, that when this is over, Babylon won't be the same place. And that's what they're looking to do. They're looking to have it all corporate owned and corporate run. But literally, the homeowners, they are weary. They really are weary. All we could say is that we should thank Yahweh every day of our lives that He's given us eyes to see. Because I feel terrible and I pray every day for these people in the world that have no hope. If you were living out there today, and you didn't have Yahweh opening up your mind to understand what's going on today, what would you feel like? What would you feel like if you worked your whole life, you were honest, you worked hard like a dog, you took care of your family, and now after 30, 40 years of doing that, you see your country being burned down, you're seeing that everything you worked for coming to nothing, you're seeing shutdowns in your businesses being closed down, you lose your job after 30 or 40 years. What on earth would people be thinking? if they didn't have Yahweh in their life. So really, every day of our life, we have to thank Yahweh that he's given us eyes to see and ears to hear. And that we understand, as bad as this is, it only shows us how much closer we're getting to the kingdom. So I want to go over one more thing with the timing of this that I find very interesting. It's in Jeremiah 50 and verse 34. Jeremiah 50 and verse 34. And again, this is all about Babylon, Jeremiah 15, 51. He says, their Redeemer is strong, Yahweh of hosts is his name. Surely he shall plead their cause, so that he may give rest to the land and make you tremble, the dwellers of Babylon. So it's kind of interesting that Yahweh is saying Babylon's going to be destroyed for this evil system it's brought to the world, her pleasure seeking, all this other stuff. And also what it does to Israel, right? It's going to turn on Israel. But it also says that he will please their cause so that he may give rest to the land and make to tremble the dwellers of Babylon. So isn't that kind of interesting? When do you have rest to the land except in the Shemitah? So could this possibly be saying that this is going to happen during the Shemitah year? It could be a possibility. The other scripture is Daniel 4 and verse 23 that also connects with a Shemitah cycle, a seven-year cycle. Daniel 4 and verse 23, talking about Babylon, right? He says, as the king saw a guarding cherub and a holy one coming down from the heavens, and saying, cut the tree down. The tree is Babylon, right? And destroy it. Yet leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and copper in the grass of the field. So that's why I said, the first time Babylon's sovereignty is taken away, the second time they're completely destroyed. But the first time, he's saying, cut down the tree. You know, Babylon is this beautiful tree that comes in the earth. It says it before that. I don't have the time to read the whole thing. But verse 20, the tree that you saw, which became great and strong, whose height reached to the heavens and its appearance to all the earth, that is you, that is Babylon. So now he's saying, cut the tree down, but leave the stump, right? When? With a band of iron and copper. So it's telling us when the third and fourth part of the beast. And let him be wet with dew of the heavens, and his lot be with the beasts of the field until seven times pass over him. Seven times. That's one complete Shemitah cycle. So putting that together with Jeremiah 50, 34, could Babylon be destroyed by the beginning of the Shemitah? Right? The Shemitah is the seventh year. And then for the whole, that then there's only 1 7 left after that. And then Babylon, like they said here, you know, let Babylon be like a stump for that 7 year period. So I think that these two scriptures are very, very interesting. And one thing is for sure, I don't know if something will happen on Elul 29 this year. That's the last day of the year before the Shemitah starts, when all the debts are supposed to be released. And we know in the last few Shemitah cycles, in 2001 and 2008, we saw the worst stock market crashes that ever happened during that time. So I'll be very curious to see if anything happens this Elul 29. But clearly from these scriptures, as people of Yahweh and having eyes to see, I think we should be watching very, very closely with what's happening today, the fall of Babylon and the Shemitah all coming together at the same time. So I wanted to give this study. We were talking about Babylon last week because I think it's really, really important as we're seeing it. I mean, I'm reading these scriptures and wow, then you could see it jumping off the pages. It really is amazing. So tomorrow we will have our third part on the word of Yahweh. Very, very good message. I think you're going to enjoy tomorrow. Something special for the ladies, but also We're going to go over a lot of good things in the book of Psalm on the word of Yahweh. So have a blessed Sabbath. And like I said, we're going to take a few weeks off for the Bible study, but we'll continue with our other things and I'll continue with updates. And I just pray that everybody is safe and keep your faith, stay strong. And we're going through some tough times now, so we have to be praying for each other. We have to stay focused. And Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.